I've been coming to Houston First Church for my entire life. My parents came whenever my brother was like 2, and then when I was going to college, I said I didn't want to be one of those college kids who stopped going to church, because that's like a huge statistic, is that a lot of kids just stop going to church. And so I found this group because of Lori Hall. She told me about Chi Alpha, so I was a part of Chi Alpha my freshman year. And then I kind of hit like a rocky path, I guess is how to say it. So my path of being a believer has been really like a roller coaster. Just not that I've ever lost faith, it's just always I've felt, not that I lost it, but that I was alone, if that makes sense. Whenever you're in those times where you just feel so alone, it's hard to think that someone else has felt that way before and that other people do struggle, especially in the church. Once I got to college, it wasn't like in high school. I had new roommates and I wasn't surrounded by the friend groups that I knew. And so it's really hard and confusing. And I think because I didn't know how to, my anxiety skyrocketed. I kind of decided not to reach out to anybody because it seemed like everybody else was doing just fine. And I didn't want to be like, I'm not doing fine. I would just present myself as if someone that I did have it all together, and because that was easier rather than people going, are you okay, what's wrong? And you didn't want to really tell them because you feel embarrassed by it. I didn't want them to know about this part of me that wasn't all happy and optimistic, because I wanted to be happy and optimistic, you know. Probably part of the happy, optimistic part was that I wanted other people to feel good so that they wouldn't have to feel the way that I felt. I had to just push it down. It was just way easier to just, you know, let's just save that for later. I hated crying, you know, that was just, I felt so weak if I cried. And so I started to tell myself that I didn't want to cry. You know, let's not cry because you don't want to cry. And then it just kind of trickles down and spirals, and you know, you keep just going down, you just keep beating yourself up. And I think that that's kind of where I've been, is that I get to these really good points where I'm like, okay, I can actually do this, and I'm praying and I'm worshiping and I'll look through these verses, and then something will just, it's almost like I wake up and Satan just goes pop, and then it's all over. I'm just kind of starting back from square one, and I don't know, I never remember how I got out of it in the first place. Somewhere that I've really failed, I didn't lean enough on my time in the Bible. Victoria would tell me to choose joy, and so she was like, you have to choose it every day. It's a choice that you make, and even multiple times during the day. So whenever I'd wake up, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna choose joy. And so she actually was really helpful in kind of jumpstarting my faith again and just reaffirming that Jesus is always there and he's our rock and we need to make him our foundation. I would still hit like these really lows or these really bad lows, but I was able to reach out to her and just say, hey, I'm having a really hard time. And then we would pray. It's okay to reach out to someone. No one's gonna judge you. You know, this church I feel is very welcoming and very kind, and so none of us are strong enough, you know, it's God. It's not like it's our strength, it's God's strength. I realize that it's okay to need help, and that it's okay to ask for help is something that I would want to tell people. And to tell myself, really, it's that it's okay to need help.
Amen. Amen. If you would, pray with me. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you together today. I thank you, Lord, for Kayla's testimony, and I thank you, Father, for how you are speaking even through her life now. I thank you, God, for your word, and I thank you for how you are speaking to us through your word as well. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours right now, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, God, and that you would help us all just to respond to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that you're telling us to do, Lord, help us to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. First of all, just so excited to hear Kayla's testimony there and just how God has been at work in her life. I was really excited to be able to sit down and talk with her leading into to this sermon today. So today is the sort of the last week of the sermon series that we've been doing called Control Issues. I don't know about you, but I have my fair share of control issues. There's some things that I just like to have my way. Maybe you're okay with other people telling you what to do and that their way is better. I'm sure you're probably like that. But for me, I like things my way. I like to tell people what to do, right? And so we've talked over this last month about several ways in which we kind of, you know, our control issues sort of show themselves. And for those of you who might not have been here last week, you might want to check into that when we talked about how your phone can actually control your life. And so if you're on it right now, you could probably go ahead and put that away, and then you can watch that sermon next week. Just kidding. Today, though, we're going to look at how negative thinking can actually control our lives as well, though, right? We understand that God has desires and plans for our lives. God has purposes for us. God has a way for us to go. And many times, there is negative thinking that creeps into our minds that sometimes can actually keep us from being who we are called to be and doing what God is calling us to do. Many times it's not even necessarily things that have happened to us, but many times just an idea that gets into our mind that actually keeps us from moving forward at all because we don't think we can or should or are even worth moving forward in those things. I want to encourage you to turn your Bibles with me. If you have them there, it's Ephesians chapter 4. If not, it'll be up on the screen here in just a moment. But I want to show you an example of even how Paul was dealing with some of this negative thinking by people that are that are part of the church, right? This isn't even just people like out there somewhere those heathen people that we expect to, you know, to have their minds wherever they're going to be, right? This is Paul speaking to the church about negative thinking and about how it is that can really drag us down sometimes. So let me read for you out of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 17. And as we go, I'm gonna kind of stop after each verse and sort of let you and sort of bring you in on where it is that Paul is speaking in terms of our thinking and our actions, right? So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." And the futility of their thinking. And let me just stop there for just a second again, because I want to point this out. It is very important for us to see throughout this text here that there is a connection between thoughts and actions. All right? And as we go through these verses, I want you to see that there are going to be connections between thoughts and actions. And here in verse 17, we actually see that both thoughts and actions are accounted for by Paul as he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. Let's keep going here in verse 18. It says, "They are darkened in their understanding," thought, "and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." So again, you see how the way that you think actually not only impacts what you think, but it also impacts your heart. It impacts how you feel about those things as well. Verse 19, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." So again, I want you to see here. Verse 18, he talked about how the thoughts crept into their hearts and into their feelings. Now we see in verse 19 that the way that they thought actually impacted the actions that they carried out. There's a very direct connection between the way that they were thinking and the actions that they were carrying out. Verse 20, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." Let me keep going here. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Again, recognize the thoughts that are involved in that. And to be made new in the attitude of your minds. I need you to see this, the importance of teaching, the importance of what is actually in your mind, the recognition that your attitude starts with your mind. Right? Your attitude, oh Lord, thank you so much. Your attitude does not start with the person who's getting on your last nerve. I hope you heard that from the Holy Spirit today. I sure hope you did. Your attitude does not start with the person that is aggravating you. Your attitude starts with your mind. Amen. Whew, we better keep going here. It's getting quiet. Verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So again, recognize that this new mind will then lead to new actions. See, many times, particularly in the church, and as we might begin to get connected with the church, many times we can actually start some of these new actions, but it's that new mindset that sometimes takes a little while to come along, right? Like we can get connected with the church through a Bible study, or maybe even just a friendship. Maybe you show up for a worship service, whatever it might happen to be. And we can, by being there, we are actually walking through some of the actions of faith, right? Like even just in showing up for a worship service here today, right? That is actually an action of faith, just being here in this building. We might recognize that in showing up there, like people who show up for a worship service, they do some different things, right? And so you might even do some of those things and try to even make habits out of those things. But even as you're doing those things, you might find, you know what? It's real hard to get your mind to go where your actions are trying to take you. Sometimes, even as you are trying to walk the Christian life, even as you're trying to follow Jesus, your mind is still back in your old self, right? Trying to convince you that you're not any different than you ever were. Trying to tell you that you're still that same old person. Trying to tell you that same guilt is still on you. Trying to say that you can't ever change. Trying to tell you all kinds of lies. And it's real hard sometimes to get our mind to go where our actions want to be. In psychology, they have there's sort of an idea here that is referred to as cognitive dissonance, right? Now, just so you know, I'm not that smart, but I heard this on a podcast one time before, and it absolutely just kind of turned me sideways here. And here's the idea with cognitive dissonance. That is that our brains, and this is actually, I didn't realize this either. Do you know that your brains actually burn calories? Did you know that? And did you know that your brain is not interested in burning calories, just like your body's not, right? Like, you'd rather just sit around and eat food on the couch, and your brain will tell you, ooh, that's real good, just do that. And you get up, try to exercise, your brain's going to yell at you, like, what are you doing, right? Your brain does the exact same thing. It's unbelievable. I didn't know this. And your brain, in a manner of self-preservation, tries to get you to do what will burn the least amount of calories possible, right? And what that means is that as long as your thoughts and your actions are congruent, as long as they are together, as long as they are in line, your brain's like, cool, we good. But if you're thinking one thing and then doing something else, oh, that messes your brain all up, right? That is what is referred to as cognitive dissonance. There's this dissonance between what you are thinking and what you are doing. And your brain don't like that, right? There's a lot of research on this, actually. You can look it up for yourself. I'm not even making this up. Your brain doesn't like that you think one thing and do something else. So here's what's crazy awesome about your brain, right? And that is that whichever of these things you continue in, the other will just come along, right? Watch this. I am not making this up, right? So that means that if you are thinking one thing and you are doing something else, then if you hold that thought harder than that action, eventually your actions will come right back to where you were thinking. See, we see this when we start the action of following after Jesus, and then sometimes, you know, because our mind is still kind of back in that old self, still kind of stuck in some of that negative thinking and everything, when something hard happens, then we come right back over here like, oh, I'm nothing, I can't do anything, I'm a failure, right? Because our brain wants us to line up. But watch this now. Because if our thoughts are in one place, but our actions are somewhere else, if we stay committed to the actions, to those new ways of being, eventually our mind will actually catch up with our actions. It's unbelievable. It's really amazing how our brain does this. All because your brain doesn't want to be in two places at one time. What that means is that when we find ourselves stuck in this negative cycle, what we have to do is find a way to tell our brain to do something different. See, y'all think your brain's just telling you what to do. You need to recognize you can tell your brain what to do. Did you know that? And I just want you to realize right now, like this might sound like I'm getting sort of scientific and medical and all this kind of stuff. I told you, like, I really am not that smart. But what I do know is that Jesus heals, right? Jesus changes things. I know prayer changes things, right? And so when I say that prayer, like you can literally change your mind, I don't mean like, well, there's this idea and I guess maybe we'll do it a little different. I mean, like, when you start walking with Jesus, he will take your mind from here and he will change it over here to where it didn't look anything like it did before. Like that is a miracle of God. And it is 100% researched and possible to happen in your life. So let me kind of show you what this sort of looks like, right? So again, the goal is that we have positive thoughts, positive actions. According to Ephesians 4 here, his goal for the Ephesian church was that they would have positive desires, right? And that they would walk in righteousness and holiness. Positive thoughts, positive actions. However, the audience that Paul is writing to is on the other side of that, where they have both negative thoughts and negative actions. And so what he's telling them is you gotta get over there. Well, the problem is that for most of us, we don't transition thoughts and actions at the same time usually. Right? Sometimes you see some examples in scripture actually where people get like dramatically healed and saved and everything, and they're like, they were this one time and that the next, and it's unbelievable, that kind of salvation. But there are some others of us now that it's sort of a process, if you will, right? And so what it is we have one thing here, and then we're over here, and then our minds are back over here, and then our actions are back over here, and it can feel absolutely exhausting, right? And sometimes it can make you feel like, you know what, if this is what I've got to go through to get to Jesus, man, I think I'll just go back. And do you know what that is? That is your brain telling you that it don't like burning calories. That's your brain telling you that it doesn't like change. Hear me carefully now. It is not your brain telling you that it doesn't like Jesus. Because when your thoughts and your actions are lined up, your brain will be just fine. Oh, your mind will be at peace. When your thoughts and your actions are lined up, when what you're thinking and what you're saying and what you're doing is all the same thing, your brain's going to feel like it's on vacation, right? But getting there can kind of be a little difficult sometimes. It sure can be. So how then do we control this negative thinking? How do we move from one side to the other, from negative thinking to positive thinking, from negative actions to positive actions, from walking away from Jesus to walking with Jesus? How do we make that transition? Well, first of all, let me say, and I've mentioned this a couple of different times now throughout this series, and that is just to remind you that as a church, we do have a connection with a really incredible Christian counseling network called Shield Bearers. And we're actually, I was reminded just again this morning that I am not a professional counselor, right? I would love to meet with you and talk with you about stuff that's going on in your life, and I would love to pray for you and show you about how God can do some really awesome things, but I don't have all the tools in my belt to be able to give to you to be able to work through some of the things of your history and that kind of stuff, but there are some really qualified Christian people that can help you walk that journey, right? And so if that's something that you're interested in, just please know there are a lot of people. In fact, there's probably somebody you're sitting next to right now who's already gone through counseling, right? Some people have this sort of stigma of like, ooh, I don't know if I want to talk to somebody. Again, the person you're sitting next to has probably already talked to a professional counselor themselves. You don't need to worry about that. All you need to think about is how is it that I can get to a place of health? So I just put that little plug out there. If you have any questions about how to get connected, I'd love to help with that. Even if you need some financial assistance with that, we have funds as a part of this congregation to help make that happen for you. And so I'd love to be able to do that for you. So that being said, there's one thing that I want us to focus on today that I believe will actually help move your thinking from a posture of negative thinking to a posture of positive thinking, and that is in speaking the truth and the promises of God to yourself. It is so important for us to speak the truth and the promises of God to ourselves. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free." See, we like to hang on to that last part of, oh, if you know the truth will set you free. Okay, well, what is the truth? The truth is the teachings of Jesus. And so if we want to know that freedom of our mind, if we want to let our brains be on vacation, right, if we want to get to that point where we can actually be congruent in a positive way in our minds, then we've got to get into God's word. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to know the character of God. And the only way we can get that is through a face-to-face conversation with him through his word. Like I'm glad you're here to listen to me and everything like that, but you're hearing third hand from me. Like I just want you to realize that like you can hear from God directly, right? And it doesn't even have to be like a big light in the sky epiphany knock you over kind of thing. It's just a matter of reading the scriptures, and he will speak into your life. Like, this is the word of God. You don't have to manufacture. You don't have to do anything crazy with it or anything. It's just a matter of getting into it. So let me just run through a few ways that we can be intentional to speak the truth of God and the promises of God into our lives. First is just to simply commit to reading God's word, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, let me clarify this verse for you real quick. I don't believe that Paul, as he was writing to the Philippian church, was talking about rainbows, unicorns, puppies, and cupcakes. All right? I just need you to understand this, right? Like, there's a lot of things that you might see on Facebook that are real nice, cute, and cuddly, and all this kind of stuff. Got sparkles and sprinkles and all those kinds of things. That is not going to make a lick of difference for you eternally. I just need you to hear me today. Like, I need you to hear truth today, right? Like don't get me wrong. Like, it's great that you see that and you smile and, oh, look, they're so cute and everything, right? I need you to know truth, though, because what's cute and cuddly and everything is still going to be over here and lead you to negative thinking and negative actions. What I need you to hear is something that's going to lead you to freedom in your life, something that's going to be able to set free whatever's holding you back. And all those things, while they might be cute and cuddly on a Facebook post, they are not going to save your life. But Jesus can. Praise God, Jesus can. And so if we understand that Jesus can save our lives, we understand that the Word of God can save our lives, then we need to make sure, we need to recognize that this thing is good and right and noble and pure and lovely, that this Word right here is what we need to fix our attention on. Because it has the greatest value that we could ever understand for our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will make your paths straight. Here's what I want you to see in all this, is that our understanding is not the same as the direction of God. Our understanding leads us to negative thinking and negative actions, but the understanding of God, the direction of God, the love of God leads us into a different way of living, leads us into a different way of thinking, leads us into a different way of believing, leads us into a different way of being that is not anything like we were before. It is a totally, totally different thing. Our understanding and the direction of God are not the same. And if we are going to follow the direction of God, we've got to surrender our understanding. Amen. And that can be so hard. And I get it. Because again, we all got control issues, right? Like we want to be in charge of our life. Like I want to be the boss of my life. The problem is that when I'm the boss of my life, it wrecks my life. It does. Like I wish there was another way to say it. That's the bad news. But the good news is, like, our lives don't have to be wrecked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like we can have new life in Jesus Christ. Like, we can be made new. We can be forgiven. We can be made whole. Like, we don't have to live like that anymore. We can live in the peace of God. And Jesus makes all of that available to us. As long as we are willing to set aside our understanding, what we think is right, for his direction and his guidance in our lives. So we got to commit ourselves to reading God's word so that we can know to set our understanding aside so that we can follow him in his direction. But if we aren't reading God's word, it's going to be real hard to be able to acknowledge that as truth, right? Because we're surrounded by a world that's trying to tell us what truth is. And if we don't put a megaphone on God's word, if we don't get this in our lives, the world is going to tell us what truth is, and it is not going to be what the Bible says is truth. So we have to be intentional about making sure that we are hearing truth from the source of truth. I better keep going here. So not only do we need to commit to reading the word of God, but we need to get around people who are going to speak God's word into our lives as well, right? So this could look like being a part of a worship service, for example. And let me just say as well, again, it's so good to see so many guests here as well for Graduate Sunday. It's great to have everybody here. I just want to encourage you, well, first of all, if this is your first time here, realize we do this all the time, and we have a great time doing it. I wish I could tell you how many times in just the last 2 months I've heard people that were not a part of this congregation last year who have said to me, just in the last 2 months, I love being a part of this family. They don't call it church. That was what I think is so interesting. They say, I love being a part of this family. And I just want you to know, it is so important for us to be together as family every week, as often as we can. Because if we want our lives to be directed by God's word, then we got to put ourselves around people that are also following God's word. And when we're only here like every once in a while, then the world gets more of an opportunity to tell us what truth is than the church does, right? And so we got to make sure that we're around other people that are seeking after that as well. Community groups is a great place to do that, by the way. Our community groups are kind of winding down right now for the summer. But one of the things I want to encourage you with, if you're not already connected to a community group, I think all of our groups are doing some different events over the summer that are perfect for just kind of getting to know some of the people in the group. They're doing cookouts and whatever kind of stuff. And so if you maybe saw like, hey, this friend of mine is connected to a group, but I haven't really checked into it yet, I really want to encourage you to reach out to him and say like, hey, tell me a little bit more about this. And if you're a community group leader or an apprentice, like now's the time to be inviting other people in. Like if you're not sure if somebody's a part of a community group, invite them anyway, right? It can't be bad to have somebody invited to more than one group. That's a whole lot better than somebody invited to no groups, right? So great way to get connected there. Also, and this might seem sort of scary, but I want to encourage you to ask someone to disciple you. Now, I know that might seem sort of weird, like, what are you trying to say, like, disciple me kind of thing. The whole idea is that one of the things that we have recognized over the last few years with this congregation anyway is that we have seen great success as one person relationally connects with somebody else in such a way that they're actually able to have spiritual conversations with each other. And one of the greatest amount of fruit that we've been able to find is when individuals will just kind of tag up, right? There's sort of a mentor, protege sort of feel kind of thing there. And you just get together and you might study the Bible together or just talk about life together, and you'll have somebody that'll be able to guide you along. Do you know you weren't born knowing how to follow Jesus? Wouldn't it be awesome to just partner up with somebody who's actually maybe doesn't have it perfect, but who's been following Jesus longer than you have? Wouldn't it seem so much easier to follow him if you at least had just somebody to talk to and ask questions to, and you didn't have to like interrupt a worship service to be like, hey, Pastor Tim, I don't really understand Revelation at all. Can you help me with that? Right? Please don't ever do that. But you see what I mean? Like we need someone that we can ask those questions to, and when we don't have that someone, most of the time we don't ask the questions. Watch this now. This is what happens. So we show up to a worship service on a Sunday morning. We get these questions because Pastor Tim's saying all these crazy things, and I don't really know what all that means, right? And so I got all these questions and everything, and I'm trying to be here, but I got all these questions, and I don't have answers to them, and I don't even have anybody to ask. And so those questions lead me back over to this negative thinking of, well, see, I'm never going to be able to understand this stuff anyway. Why am I even going to worry about studying God's word? I got all these questions in my mind that I don't know what to do with, and nobody's going to be able to help me. You see what I'm saying? It's so nice when you just have someone that you can talk to that can just be there so that when you're over here, you can just stay here. And your brain doesn't have to get all crazy about going back and forth and everything. Your brain can just be happy in the fact that you've got someone to ask your questions to. And then when you ask the questions, you may not even get the full answer of what you need, but you were able to talk to somebody. You know that somebody cares enough to hear your question. That's what discipleship is. It's just knowing that somebody's walking with you as you're walking with Jesus. So, finally, then the last thing I want to encourage you with is I just want to encourage you to actually speak God's word out loud to yourself. And this is going to seem sort of weird. I know, I get it. Like it's gonna seem weird. But if you do the action of actually speaking God's word out loud, you'll notice a change in how you think about God's word, right? And let's be honest, I mean, odds are you've probably already proven this true, right? I mean, when you told yourself that you were stupid, you probably eventually believed it. When you told yourself that you were ugly, you probably eventually believed it. When you told yourself that you didn't deserve to be happy, you probably believed it. When you told yourself that pornography wasn't hurting anybody, you probably believed it. When you told yourself that you weren't ever going to be successful, when you told yourself that you deserved to get drunk every weekend, and what's the problem? When you lived like it was all about you, you probably believed it was all about you, right? So what if you told yourself something different? What if you began to tell yourself that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you? Because then you're going to believe something different. See, when you tell yourself that God is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins, you're eventually going to believe it. When you tell yourself that God cleanses you from all unrighteousness, not just some of it, not just last week's, but all of it, like you will eventually believe it. When you tell yourself that God gives peace that transcends all understanding, you will believe it. When you tell yourself that God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, you will believe it. When you tell yourself that you can be made new in Christ, that the old is gone and the new is come, you will believe it. When you tell yourself that you are created to be like God into righteousness and holiness. Right now you might think, oh my goodness, how in the world could I ever live in true righteousness and holiness? But if you will speak that to yourself, if you will speak the power of God's word into your life, you will believe it. And your brain will not rest until you do. The question is, are you going to tell your brain what to do or not? I want to invite the worship team to come on up. See, because even as they come, you are experiencing cognitive dissonance right now. See, cognitive dissonance is what you are feeling when you want to take action to submit control to God, but your negative thinking is trying to keep you from taking that action that you don't normally take. Right? That inner turmoil that you're feeling right now is your brain saying, whoa, hey, don't upset the apple cart here. We got a good thing going over here in this negative thinking. Don't mess that up, right? Cognitive dissonance is what is your brain trying to maintain alignment in negative thinking and negative actions. But what you need to do is tell your brain to line up in submission to God. See, your negative thinking doesn't have to control you anymore. So let the Spirit of God actually win control in your life by setting the Word of God primary in your life so that you can begin to speak that truth, so that you can begin to move from this place of incongruence and negative thinking to a place of peace and wholeness in everything that Christ has for you. Stand with me, if you would, please. We're gonna sing. As we sing this song, I just want to encourage you, however it is that the Lord is working on your heart right now, and I want you to know that the actions that the Holy Spirit is setting in your heart right now, like these are important things for you to follow up on. Do not let your brain tell you that this ain't the time. Right? If you want to come to an altar of prayer and pray here with somebody, maybe you just want to pray with someone right where you are. Maybe there are connect cards on the seat back in front of you. Maybe you just want to fill one of those out and say, Pastor, I just need you to be praying for me about this because I know I need to do different. I know I want to think different. I want to be different. Pray with me that we can get there. I will 100% do that with you. But you've got to take the action. What action are you going to take now that we might line up our thinking with the Lord? Say yes to Him, even now.